Hello again. This is Pastor Deborah, and we are here on YouTube on Love Is Here's podcast show called A Voice of Light in the Darkness. You will be able to hear this and see this on the YouTube podcast section and YouTube music, as well as on the channel, The Hidden Kingdoms. And this is going to be episode number 21. I'm going to work through several wonderful stories that were true in my life and about myself. And then I'm going to read a poem to you. Then we're going to get into The Oppressed Spirit, number 9, part number 9. The Oppressed Spirit was a teaching by Dr. Miles Monroe of the Bahamas Faith Ministries. He's in heaven now, and I have adapted it to my ministries, but it helps us to understand ourselves, humanity, children, teens, young adults, and how our spirit, that invisible part of us, the eternal part of us, is oppressed until it is set free through deliverance and healing by knowledge, truth, and most of all, agape, love. So welcome again to the Hidden Kingdoms podcast show called Love Is Here, A Voice of Light in the Darkness. And I am Pastor Deborah. So let me get started first with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of those who are followers, subscribers, and just listeners of this podcast show. We thank YouTube for offering this platform to us and to YouTube Music so that many people may hear it while they're traveling, driving, working in the gym, or they may watch it. And we thank you, YouTube, for you are a wonderful social media platform for us creators and producers of videos. We hope to go to Mars with you and maybe out into the stars and beyond and on all the starships and out into the deep galaxies. So YouTube, you be strong, and we honor you and bless you. And we thank all of you who are listening and followers. So let's get started. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. To help you understand me, Pastor Deborah, and the ministry I had, so you'll understand this podcast show of what it means, a voice of light in the darkness, agape love. I want to tell you a true story. It's called You Love Them Into the Kingdom of God, Like I Did You. You can find us on the website of www.agapeloveishere.org in a section called The Kingdom of Agape Love, Volume 1. I'm going to read it to you. This happened many, many years ago. And I was much younger. Well, on this wonderful journey of my spiritual life, and my many experiences and training with God the Most High, He desires for you to hear another one of my and His spiritual and natural adventures of being one with Him, a true spiritual ambassador of His powerful agape love. All your growing, developing, getting knowledge, getting free, getting delivered, is so that you can become a partner with God, that He can be in you and work through you, and you can take counsel together, and you can be His ambassador here on earth, out in the realm of the Spirit, out in the realm on social media, so that many others can hear Him speaking to them. So that you can see His heart and His mind for lost spiritual children, all of humanity, most of us, in the kingdom of darkness, which is called ignorance, and see His wonders of His agape love. This story starts out by me eating at a buffet lunch on a Friday afternoon and drinking a glass of lemonade. Well, little did I know that in my glass of lemonade was poison. No way, I thought. At a restaurant? Are you joking? Yeah, right. No, I am not. You see, an entire satanic clan family called the Black Forest Clan was sent to Pensacola to kill me. So I would stop loving and praying for Satanists so much. Earthquakes had begun happening. People had been getting saved. They were drawn to this agape love coming from Pastor Deborah. Many had renounced Satan and accepted and confessed Christ Jesus as Savior, Master, and Lord of their lives, not Satan. And were now reading the Bible, attending churches, getting deliverance from the many demons that had been in their spiritual lives, even from the womb. Satan was not happy at all, and he had put several death contracts on me. I was a target. The orders from Satan himself were given the month before at a satanic high council meeting, and the orders were, kill her, take her out. They had already tried by car accidents, shootings, car bombs, kidnapping from church, and a man on a motorized bicycle. Now came the poison. Was I afraid of the death contracts? No, for I had already given everything, even my own life, into the hands of Almighty God. And I knew I had not yet accomplished all that He had planned for me to do with Him. So I knew I would not die, but I knew I might have to go through lots and lots of pain. How did Satan's servants, humans, know where I was going for lunch? Everyone has at least one demonic spirit watching them, following them in the spirit. Watchers, they are called, 24/7. And when the word was spread out to others where I was going, one of the members of the clan went to the restaurant and bewitched a waitress to put the poison in my lemonade. Sounds unreal, doesn't it? But if you go after Satan's children of his kingdom of darkness in the power of agape love through prayer and spirit work, he will fight against you to stop you, and the agape love from touching, reaching, and healing and delivering these precious spiritual children from his satanic control. The battle and attacks are very physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually real. I just had one. I don't know if you know, I just got diverticulitis again. It was an attack of poison that was intended for somebody else, a young man, by one of his ex-wives. She was so jealous of his love for me and his companionship with me, and I'd become his personal assistant, helping him in all that he does. And she was jealous, and she sent in an attack. Well, as a partner, a friend, with agape love in me, my job was to stand and protect this little one. I took the hit. I took the poison. Didn't even know it. It took a while, but it happened. Did it come through some food? Probably. Was it put in there by demonic spirits? Probably. And guess what? I ended up in the emergency room with a severe diverticulitis infection, throwing up, had blood orange urine, dehydrated. I was put on powerful antibiotics and got fluid in me. I later told this young man this was a spiritual attack, and I was the shield for him, so that he would understand the power and the love of agape, love of the Heavenly Father through me for him, so he could see what the real power of love is, that it protects those that cannot protect themselves. These battles and these attacks were very physical, mental, emotional, and spiritually real. But to spiritually reach the darkened, blinded, deaf, wounded, and broken hearts, their minds, of these precious spiritual children, lost in spiritual darkness and ignorance, and living in the bondage to the fear of death, deep in Satan's darkest spiritual prisons, it would take me risking my own life for their spiritual freedom of their spirit, soul, and body. Christ Jesus went the distance for me, and I had picked up my cross and would go the distance to death itself to reach and spiritually bring the Heavenly Father's great and powerful agape love to them, to demonstrate it to them, to show them what it's like. I drank the lemonade, but unknown to me, of the poison that was in it, and I ate my lunch because I had physically seen one of the Dark Clan's members. Because I had physically seen one of the Black Forest Clan's members in the restaurant that day. At the same time I was there, my spirit became suspicious. Well, about 5:30 p.m., it hit. The pains in my stomach were so bad, I went to the emergency room at the hospital. I did not know at this time what was going on, but I felt peace even though the great waves of pain were coming. The pain was off the chart of 10, being the most painful when they asked you. The pain would come in waves and waves. I do not scream or cry or anything when a wave of pain would come. I'm very tough, very quiet when pain is around. No, I just grit my teeth and go through it. The pain felt as though I was having a baby. Labor, birth pains, which I had had before, but I was not pregnant. I became feverish and took every test they had. Nothing showed up. I was given Demerol, a very powerful painkiller, and guess who was administering it to me? You got it. A male nurse who was also a Satanist. How did I know this? By the spiritual gift of discerning of spirits and the gift of words of knowledge. They wanted to knock me out with Demerol, but it didn't work. Well, during the waves of pain, I was quiet. Well, also, in the spirit realm, several of my spiritual children came to me in the hospital emergency room, and they told me they knew who had ordered this hit on me, and they were going to go and kill them. And I said to them in the spirit, "No, you love them into the kingdom of God like I did you." I learned later that they did not kill those who gave the orders, but did love them into the arms of Christ Jesus. And two more children of Satan became spiritual children of the Heavenly Father. I physically recovered. All the doctors could find was they thought that the pain was from an ovarian cyst dying and going through its death pains, and I said, "Yeah, right." I later learned that during the time of the poisoning and the pain, a young girl, in fact, her name was Amanda, was having an abortion in a satanic meeting to get the child for a satanic sacrifice. I learned that a demon in the poison connected the two of us through the pain. Satan wanted to hopefully kill me by using the powerful painkiller to knock me out so I would be accessible in the spirit to him. Satan was hoping to take me spiritually to a meeting and kill me by putting me into a physical body and kill the physical body and me. Sounds unreal, but that was the life that these precious ones lived in, and I had entered into to bring them agape love. I would just die in the hospital from complications of the pain medication. But because the pain medicine never took effect, I remained spiritually alert and in prayer. I have been poisoned many times since, and probably will be again. But I have the promises of God the Most High that any deadly thing that I may drink or eat will not harm me. I may have lots of pain, but God's promises are always true and faithful to me. I am in a real life and death battle for the precious spiritual children of the kingdom of darkness, who have been enslaved for generations after generations of sin, fear of death, mind programming, demonic enslavement, fracturing of their spiritual heart, their mind, due to the spiritual, mental, sexual, physical abuse and torture that they receive. Precious, precious spiritual children living in terror and the fear of death. Alone. No agape love. No peace of spirit. Drugs to survive. Demons 24/7. And always human sacrifice and death. Human spirits totally controlled and always tortured. All total spiritual, mental, sexual, physical slaves to Satan's will. So what is a little poison, demonic pain, a night in the hospital, pain unbearable to me, compared to their lives? Nothing compared to the pains of a life living in darkness and ignorance in Satan's kingdom. What is worth the life spiritually of just one of these precious human spirits to me? Everything, even pain and death if necessary. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, I want to read to you a story that was true, that I participated in, to help a whole family find God and to see the miraculous power of God at work through a 5-year-old child who was captured spiritually and one of these little ones in the kingdom of darkness. I hope you never get tired of hearing these stories, because it will help you when you watch this podcast or listen to it to learn about what an oppressed spirit is and the ministry of Pastor Deborah, and how if you want to help people at this level, you must give your all and be willing to take the hits for them. This story is true. It's called A Super Game Boy. The Heavenly Father has another wonderful story of deliverance, freedom, and healing for me to share with you. A young child came to me in the spirit who was about 5 years old. He was so sweet. He had spiritually heard about me through some other children, and he wanted to see if I and this God of mine were really real. Even children will look and check you out. He said he wanted to believe, but he wanted to check this guy out that I called Jesus. I asked him what he would like Jesus to do for him, to help him believe. He said he didn't know what he could do because his family was one called a multi-generational Satanist, and his life was horrible. I told him that there was nothing impossible for God, the Most High, to do, and there was nothing he would not do for him to demonstrate his great agape love for him and his family. He asked me if Jesus could help his mother to stop drinking and being a drug addict, and could he get his older brother out of jail, and could he get his family out of Satanism. I asked him, what about something for himself, something special? Like, how would he like the Most High God to make his handheld Game Boy work without batteries? He said that was impossible. I said, there is nothing impossible for God and Jesus to do so that he would believe in them and come to love them and be their spiritual child and mine. I always adopt everybody. So he said, okay. So I prayed, dear Father, I ask a mighty work of you that you set this family free of Satanism, that you deliver this child's mommy from the alcohol and drugs, and that you free his older brother from jail. And I ask of you that you pour out your power in agape love so that his Game Boy will work without batteries, so that his heart and mind will believe in you and become a child of yours in your kingdom of heaven, so that you are glorified and Satan is defeated, so that the precious hearts and minds can come to believe in you, that you are the Most High God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And guess what happened? The Most High God answered the prayer. Immediate manifestations occurred. His mommy stopped drinking and using drugs. His Game Boy worked without batteries. And in the morning, his older brother came home. The young boy of about 5 years of age even took his now super Game Boy to his friends at school and showed them it. And guess what? All the kids at school believed in Jesus and the Most High God. All got saved and born again. Don't you ever, ever leave out the children and schools. Use what's in their life. I used a Game Boy. You see, God's signs and wonders are not for those who already believe, but for unbelievers. So because of one young 5-year-old boy who had heard of me spiritually and had spiritually watched me and came to talk with me and test these guys out, the Most High God and Jesus, to see if they were real and if their words were true, and to test the agape of love of God himself, to see if he really loved these lost ones to him. Satan lost this round. He lost many children who will never get back. Oh, it doesn't mean that they were healed in their soul or physical body, but he lost them eternally. God, the Heavenly Father, got his heart's desires, children spiritually born again to himself through a Game Boy, through a 5-year-old child. Do you have a spiritual reputation out there? If a human spirit of any age watches you spiritually, what would they see? Do you believe that God's signs and wonders are for believers or unbelievers? Do you have the faith to ask for the impossible so others can believe in him, the Most High God? Do you even believe that there are human spirits out there? True story of Pastor Deborah. Now here is a poem that I wrote with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Come and see. Dear precious spiritual child, the Heavenly Father and I want to spiritually tell you how much you are loved with a love unknown to you, agape. You are so spiritually precious to the both of us. There is no spiritual distance too great for the two of us to spiritually travel, to spiritually reach you in the spiritual darkness. The Heavenly Father wants to spiritually invite you to come and see a great wonder you have never seen or experienced before. The Garden of Eden, where the Heavenly Father is spiritually pouring out His great, powerful, and majestic agape love into billions and billions and billions of precious ones such as you. So, sweetie, come and see. There is no physical travel required, and you don't have to know the way. The Holy Spirit does. So, sweetie, little one, come and see agape love at work. Love, God the Most High and Pastor Deborah. These were a couple of my stories and a poem to help you understand the ministry of agape love, a voice of light in the darkness. And now we're going to get into the next part of the oppressed spirit. All right, keep listening. Hello again, Pastor Deborah here. And I want to help you to remember, to reflect, and to review what we've already talked about in the oppressed spirit. So in this episode, episode number 21, I'm going to pick up with the oppressed spirit number 9. But I'm going back to the beginning and read a few pages to you so you can remember what we were talking about, dealing with, trying to understand, and trying to take in powerful information about yourself and most of humanity. The Oppressed Spirit. This was adapted from Dr. Miles Monroe of the Bahamas Faith Ministry, who's in heaven now. He was teaching at a conference called the Leading Edge Leadership. And it was directed to me by the Holy Spirit, my master teacher, to make an adaptation of it so it would be more familiar to you, more understanding to you, and more relatable to you. So let's begin. The goal of oppression is to, one, devalue the oppressed. Two, to break the spirit of the oppressed. Break your will. The word oppress is defined by the Webster's Dictionary as, one, suppress. Two, to crush or burden by abuse of power or authority. Three, to burden spiritually or mentally. Oppression is defined by Webster's Dictionary as, one, unjust or cruel exercise of authority or power. Two, something that oppresses, especially in being an unjust or excessive exercise of power. Three, a sense of being weighted down in body or mind, depression. Oppressive is defined by Webster's Dictionary as, number one, unreasonably burdensome or severe. Two, tyrannical. Three, overwhelming or depressing to the spirit or the senses. What does it mean to break one's spiritual will? The word break is defined by Webster's Dictionary as, number one, to separate into parts with suddenness or violence. That is where disassociation, identity disorder happens. And when the spirit leaves the body. 2. To fracture. 3. To rupture. 4. To render inoperable. 5. To violate, transgress. 6. To defeat utterly and end as an effective force, destroy. 7. To crush the spirit. The word will, W-I-L-L, is defined by Webster's Dictionary as 1. Used to express desire, choice, willingness, consent, or refusal. 2. A choice or determination of one's having authority or power. 3. The act, the process, or experience of willing and volition. That means letting your will be done. 4. Mental powers manifested as wishing, choosing, desiring, or intending. Breaking the spirit, the will of a person, means that you, the oppressor, control the oppressed thinking until they surrender. That's done a lot in human trafficking, prostitution, pornography, through all the biochemicals of the neural brain, through physical torture, through rejection, through neglecting the needs, even of a baby. That is breaking their spirit, their will. As long as a person is willing to fight, their spirit will not be broken or surrendered. But when a person surrenders to the context, the ideas, the words, or environment, or to the powers that be, and decide, I am not going to fight anymore, I have to accept what is, that person's spirit will has been broken. Sort of going along with the herd. And of course, the oppressor has succeeded. This has happened to all of us who are considered a minority group, or even the majority, based on race, color, culture, religion, country, education, sex, no sex, financial status, employment, the flesh. We all hate to admit it, don't want to even know it, and the saddest part is we are suffering from it and don't know it. So when one comes into agreement with oppression, one believes that we are not capable of freedom, kingship, rulership, management, leadership, and that freedom, kingship, rulership, leadership is only reserved for the elite, the boys, others, the chosen ones, the one percenters, etc., who are definitely different from me, and they are chosen somehow by the gods to be superior to me. So one surrenders to that idea, that belief, that context, those words, the experiences, the pressure. And they, the elite ones, the oppressors, remind me to stay in my place. You know your place. It's beneath me. Do what I tell you to do. We saw this a lot in slavery, where precious human beings were trafficked, sold, beaten, separated from their families by oppressors. This concept, this idea, this belief, this thinking is real and still in our mind and thoughts, in our personal experiences, even now. We don't talk about it, but it, the oppression, the control, can be sensed even by others. There are people who will assume you are a second-class person. An assumption by others that you cannot be first class in life. They look on the outside and assume this about you. People question what you are doing. Number one, school is not for you. Number two, you can have no life without us on your own. No money, no stuff, no pleasure, no fun, no employment, no hope. You are just our property, our mind-controlled slave. The problem is that the one who is oppressed has accepted this oppression unconsciously. A person is still controlled by the oppressive idea, belief, thoughts, culture, religion, that freedom, kingship, rulership, leadership on earth, of your own life goals, dreams, hopes, and desires are only for others, an elite group of people. Who are the oppressors, the controllers, the masters of the New World Order, rulers of globalization, European Union leaders, politicians, who are specially gifted, and you are just a normal, caged, stupid, boxed, controlled, abused, used, a slave, a person who is a nobody. That life is not for you. This concept, this idea, this philosophy, these concepts, ideas, philosophies are ones taught to control and oppress the human spirit, its will, its body, its thoughts of humans. But this spiritual concept, idea, belief is not from the Most High God. The Most High God spiritually created our spiritual being, the forever person, and put him inside of a dirt body, both of a male and a female, to be a spiritual king on the earth, a lord on earth, a priest unto the Lord on earth, a reflection of the Most High God's image and after his likeness. One given all spiritual authority and dominion over all the works of the Most High God and the spiritual enemy and his wickedness, as well as the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. All that filled the heart of Lucifer with sin and iniquity, that caused him to be cast down from his place in heaven to the earth, fallen into the darkness of sin and death. And Lucifer became Satan, the spiritual adversary of God, the Most High, of his image and likeness, and of all humanity. These satanic ideas, concepts, thinking, beliefs, behaviors trap a person's heart, mind, and physical body and one's will into a life of less than what the Most High God desires for the spiritual, forever person, the eternal part of us, to be and to become on the earth. According to the Most High God, these concepts, ideas, these thoughts, these beliefs are lies, deceptions, perversions of his true concepts, ideas, thoughts, and beliefs. And a person will continue to believe these lies of Satan, these deceptions, these ideas, concepts, and beliefs from Satan and his demonic kings in the kingdom of darkness until freedom comes, deliverance, and healing. Until each person spiritually learns about who they really are, who the Heavenly Father says they are not what others say they are. A spiritual self you have never met or known. When one does learn about who one really is to become, many will not believe the words because the self is not the self they, the oppressors, the controllers, the abusers, told one that they are. One will be told and punished in many different ways to reinforce the oppressor's matrix of control. One will be told, don't even think of yourself as that unknown self. You are not that. You are what and who we, your oppressors, tell you that you are. His words are lies. Only we know what and who you really are. No one else. So a person will battle these satanic, demonic ideas of self-devaluation, self-humiliation. What a battle spiritually, mentally, and physically one faces when one decides to find one's true self. The battle is the plight, the plague, the disease, the wickedness, the evil of the oppressed people all over the world. This battle goes on and on, generations after generations. And those who are oppressed are afraid to even think differently than what one has been taught by others, by culture, by traditions, by ancestors, by religion, by experience. And they just accept their concepts from the oppressors. The oppressor's ideas and opinions and beliefs about who they are. So we continue to think what is told to us as normal. That is how it has always been and will always be. So what is the use of fighting? We say to ourselves, this is my lot in life. This is my destiny. This is my fate. Freedom, kingship, rulership, leadership, it's not for me. They always win. Nothing will ever change, them or me. Yet I am afraid of any change, because I will receive pain if I do. And I don't know the rules of that game, of not being oppressed. How do you become the real spiritual you? The Most High God created one to be. How do you develop into all that God, the Most High, says you are to become? How does one become all he was born again, even born the first time, to become? What are the keys to discovering one's true identity that God, the Most High, desires a spiritual being, the forever person, to become? How does one find and discover one's personal freedom from oppression and heal a broken spirit, a broken will? How do I help others to be free from oppression and to heal their broken spirits? Where does one begin? First, one has to want to step out of the darkness of oppression and into the light of freedom, which means you never really 100% fully surrendered your will, that there is a piece of you, a part, maybe a small child inside of you that wants to be free, but all it does is cry. One needs to renew his own spiritual heart and mind from the Word of God. But he begins as a baby, nursing at the breast of a mother who feeds agape love, the anchor of the soul, and the child begins to be comforted. Pastor Deborah's done this many times and might be doing this right now. deep in the realm of the darkness, nursing little ones, little program parts, little children, who are really grown adults, and their children, their babies, are nothing but infants. You begin at the beginning with a mama. One needs to renew his own spiritual heart and mind from mama, the very word of God itself. Mamas talk to their babies when they're at the breast. They caress them and comfort them. The babies nurse the warm, sweet milk and fall into comfortable, safe sleep. Then one needs to have the agape love of God, of the Heavenly Father, heal one's broken spirit and free the will. It is done through love. Then allow the agape love of the Heavenly Father to pour out his words of spirit and life into one's heart and mind so they can renew, refresh, strengthen, and push back the darkness, the ignorance, the lies, the deceptions, the ungodly ideas. The soul ties are broken, and the perverse concepts are destroyed. Then your spiritual heart and mind and its soul becomes transformed about yourself and all the ungodly concepts, thoughts, beliefs, ideas will be slowly changed, destroyed, cut loose, dissolved into godly ones. And you will begin to know that you are worthy of freeing and of freedom and of helping others and of becoming a king, a leader, and teaching others this new idea, this new image and likeness of themselves, so they too can follow you to a new and transformed self. One will have to discover the newly created spiritual self in Christ Jesus from the Word of God, then help lead others to find their true God and create a new spiritual self. I just had a precious young man named Philip, who I work with, call me on the phone and ask me how to develop a godly character. I gave him scripture references. I told him how to destroy the old, cut the soul ties. So he is beginning his walk, learning who first his Father is, God the Most High, who his big brother is, Christ Jesus, and who he is to become. He has an image and a likeness to look at out of the Word of God that will help him. One will have to discover the newly created new spiritual self in Christ Jesus, then help and lead others to find their true God created and help them to find their new self in God. I told Philip that his purpose was to get healed, delivered, and develop this godly character, then to partner with God himself and helping others who have been sexually abused as children, which he's running into many of them, especially men, even in church, so he can pray with them properly, do deliverance work, talk to them, teach them, and he'll become a master teacher himself and helping other oppressed spirits become free. Freedom of a heart and mind from being oppressed comes first. First, one gets personally free of oppression, then frees others. Sometimes it takes years, sometimes it's quick. Sometimes people can't believe that freedom is for them, that there'd be any kind of safety, happiness, joy, peace, love. And they are afraid of this new self. They don't know the rules, the games. They're always looking over their shoulder for the oppressor. All transformations are first private, deep in the spiritual heart and mind of a spiritual being, the forever person. Then Satan finds out Then this transformation becomes a public one that is seen by others spiritually and in the natural, and is used for freeing and transforming others, guiding them to where you have just gone and discovered one's true self, free of oppression, a freed will, a free spirit. One first must deal with their own personal freedom from spiritual, emotional, mental, physical oppression and its lies and deceptions of all of its chains and fetters and soul ties. Everyone that is living under oppression and has had their spirit broken, their will has surrendered to the oppressors, has to spiritually discover their true God, recreated self. But the oppressors, the lords, the masters, the controllers will say, "You do what I say. I am your Lord. I am your master. I am your God." But one who is a true leader, a king, free of oppression, will say to others like Philip, "Let's go. Follow me." The freed spiritual heart and mind and will from being oppressed can lead others into the unknown. A life not under oppression. A life healed. A life healed of its broken will. A life healed of its broken spirit. A life without oppression. One who has been freed and healed of oppression and has taken their own will back has had a personal vision of this freed life, this unknown self, and knows where and how to get there. The newly freed man has battled and won each time, thrown off the oppressor's shackles, chains, the fetters, climbed up out of the pit, out of the cell, out of a box, out of a cage, spiritually and mentally and emotionally, and has destroyed, been delivered of all the control mechanisms, the matrix, the ideas, the concepts, the fears, the thoughts, the rules, the beliefs of the oppressors. Go watch The Matrix from 1999. Learn about Neo, who didn't even know he was controlled by machines. Learn how his deliverance came from other people who were already delivered. And then he had to learn the truth, which was very sad for him. Then he had to start believing. He had to have a Morpheus, a god of dreams, in his life that would help him. And for a long time, you won't believe what Morpheus or even Pastor Deborah tells you is the truth. But slowly, you will learn. A free man now can become the true spiritual self that God the Most High has said they are to be. A freed spiritual man becomes a self-starter, self-disciplined, undeterred by others, and goes life alone. Oppressed people are timid and passive. Timid is defined by Webster's Dictionary as one, lacking courage or self-confidence. Two, lacking in boldness or determination. Passive is defined by Webster's Dictionary as one, lacking energy or will, lethargic. Two, tending not to take an active or dominant part. Three, induced by an outside agency. Four, not active or an operating spirit. Passivity is a result of oppression, oppressive training. It is not spiritually natural, even to an unsaved person, to be passive, dominated, controlled. When one is trained to be timid, passive, submissive, controlled, non-resistant, through one's culture, family, rules, traditions, relationships, religion, pain from punishment, neglect, rejection, abuse. These have trained one to be passive, timid, afraid. Do not express oneself except when one can't take it anymore. One is trained to not vent one's thoughts or feelings. One of the ways an oppressed person is trained is by this. You are to be seen and not heard. This is the training of an oppressed spirit. A slave, a maid, a servant, not valuable people, less than human by the oppressors. The oppressors teach the ones to be oppressed, to be seen in society, church, but never heard. No one is to know you are even there. One is to only be manipulated, deceived, bewitched, lied to. An oppressed person is to be hidden in plain sight. Whole cultures, families, races, sexes, generations after generations of people are like this, even nations. The oppressors will say to the oppressed, "How dare you question me? I am the authority. I pay the bills. I raised you, gave you birth. You have my blood in you. I have laid down my life for you, served you. You owe me. What you want is not important, only what I want. I don't care about you, only me. I don't want to hear your ideas, your goals, your desires, your plans, your opinions, your truths, or anything. We, the oppressors, will tell you what you need to know, and you will do it." These demonic oppressors have produced people who are so passive, timid, dependent on the oppressors, who are stronger and very powerful, and that the passive oppressed person can or will never make things happen. You're just in the herd, following along, bowing down to fear, to the oppressors. They, the oppressed person, only watch things happen. They are left out of life. No control over their own life or their circumstances. No self-confidence. Only dreamers, living just for the moment. Just waiting for death. Hopes have all died, and there's no more dreams of a future. God wants this spiritually, mentally, emotionally, spiritual heart and mind to be set free and transformed in each and every spiritual forever person inside of a dirt body called humanity. So each and every one can help the next generation of oppressed persons. One has to have freedom of self so they can live in the unknown self. This unknown self, who is free of oppression, is no longer timid or passive, is the one who the Heavenly Father desires one to become upon being reborn unto Him through Christ Jesus, through the cross, through death, spiritually. A new spiritual man who is free from all oppression, timidity, and passivity, ungodly concepts, ungodly ideas, ungodly thoughts, ungodly control, and from the lies and deceptions that one believes and believes about others. A free spiritual heart does not wait for others. They get on with their personal battle, the task of being free. A free man from oppression is always willing to step out into the unknown. Even though fearful, not knowing if anyone is coming with them or what is the end, but they trust God and His strength to get them through the journey and to help them overcome their fear of the unknown self. One must believe in God the Most High and His description of the free man, the unknown self. Deep inside of the spiritual, forever person's spiritual heart and mind is the desire and the will to be spiritually free, not oppressed. Pastor Deborah had to know that about everyone she provided ministry to. Not to be dominated, but to be free under God, the Most High. Everyone wanted to dream, have hope in a future, and a life without oppression. With a free will that freely chooses to obey and submit to the laws of the kingdom of heaven. All spiritual beings, the forever person, will leave their spiritual body upon physical death without ever discovering their true spiritual self, who is unknown to them, or they will die never freeing themselves from the oppressors and their oppression. But every once in a while, this oppressed spirit breaks through, comes out to the surface, but because of one's culture and family training, one will bury it quickly. I've seen this in many people. This breakout is called giving one a piece of one's mind. That is the free will of the spirit of a forever person, breaking out, shouting, expressing itself through the soul, its helpmate. But you are trying to suppress it. One is conditioned to never resist anything. Be nice. Keep your eyes down. Stare off into the future. Be a rebellious person to rules and laws. Always stay oppressed. One is conditioned to never resist anything. Be nice. But you will see when a lot of troublemakers who fight the law, they are resisting oppression. But we don't know that. We don't understand it. We don't study oppression. We don't understand and really study abuse and neglect and rejection of children and what it causes them to do. One is conditioned to never resist anything. Be nice. Let all the demonics into your life. Let all the words in. Believe everything that's told to you, even when you're being abused. Cooperate. Be submissive. These words have trained one to believe. Those who speak these words are their authority that dominates them. But inside of each of us, there is a natural spiritual inclination, a desire, a dream, to be free of oppression, domination, oppressive people, environments, and to be the free spirit under the Heavenly Father, even if we don't know Him or even heard of Him. Freedom is in us. Being free was always a part of our DNA. But we have been almost completely harnessed, controlled, enslaved, like a broken trained horse becomes, because the oppressors, the controllers, the dominators have placed certain things in our lives that administer pain if we move out of line. A horse turns at the response of pain in his mouth to alleviate it, to the kick of the shoes on his body. A camel when he has a thing in his nose. A water buffalo with a leash in his nose. We all respond to pain. We turn in a direction to alleviate it. Certain things in our lives are meant to administer pain if we move out of line. They, the things that control us, come by threats of violence, intimidation, instilling fear of death, pain. If you do these certain things, they, the oppressors, the controllers, the dominators, don't like. They don't, what they don't want you to do. Or they can't control you. Or if you resist them and their control mechanisms, their pressure points, like a horse, then pain is applied to you to control you, such as a bridle in a horse's mouth. Through the application of pain in the horse's mouth, the horse turns in the direction of the pain to stop the pain. The rider is applying it through the bit and the bridle in the mouth of the horse. The horse is not, the rider is not controlling the horse. The horse is responding to pain. And this is what has been done to humanity, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, sexually. The culture's traditions, the religions, our faiths, rules, the family, the ancestors, spirituality, political correctness, have put a bit and bridle in one's life, which tells you through applying pain, threats, intimidations, fears, rejection, attacks, that tell one not to go in that direction, or we, your controllers, will give you pain to stop you. To be free, one must spit the bit and bridle out of one's own mouth with the help of another. Even the horse cannot take the bit and bridle out of his own mouth. That requires someone else. So everyone needs help to take the controlling mechanisms out of their life, to break off the chains, the fetters, the bindings of invisible, ungodly deceptions, lies, thoughts, beliefs, and to break their power that has been breaking their soul, and to break the soul ties and destructions of these spiritual strongholds of the oppressors. Why would we do this? Why would we set captives free? Why does Pastor Deborah do this? So that one can become the new spiritual creature that the Most High God desires each and every one of humanity to become. A free spirit, a free will that freely chooses to obey and love the Heavenly Father, and becomes the true spiritual king, the ruler, the leader of self, of his spirit, soul, and physical body, and then of all creation on earth as it is in heaven. The Heavenly Father desires to show, reveal, manifest to all humanity, to tell all of you, to help you discover who he says one really is now, and to help each and every human to develop into the fullness of Christ as a son of God. And that ends the review of the oppressed spirit. We will pick up in the next part as we get into a deeper look of what the oppressed spirit is. I just wanted to review this. It's been a while. We've had many podcasts. So you need to review what an oppressed spirit is and what the goals of the freedom fighters are. So you be encouraged. There's much to learn yet about you and all of your parts of spirit, soul, and physical body, and all of humanity. All right. I'll see you on the next podcast show, A Voice of Light in the Darkness. All right. This is Pastor Deborah. Bye-bye.